This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da, ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu, wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi, wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us distinct and different from one another. Allah has created us different in terms of our features, in terms of our personality, in terms of our outward looks, in terms of our capacity, our capabilities. And sometimes it's amazing, one of the signs of Allah Ta'ala's greatness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and everyone's fingerprint different from another person. That is how we are so distinct from one another. That is how we are so different from one another. That is why, so amazingly, in the Holy Quran in Surah Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّا نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. One of the most, and of course every ayat of the Quran is beautiful, but look at how Allah Ta'ala says the people, some people say, well, Allah Ta'ala gather bones. When our bones have been scattered after we have passed on, will Allah Ta'ala gather it together on the day of judgment for us to account? Allah Ta'ala says, not only will Allah gather you together, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. Allah will gather you with your same fingerprints. Why does Allah use the word fingerprint? Because our each and every person's fingerprint is distinct. Allah says, I will bring you back on the day of judgment even with your same fingerprint. So Allah has created us so distinct, everyone is different. But after creating us different, Allah Ta'ala tells us to become one. So Allah Ta'ala creates everyone different, but then Allah Ta'ala then tells us to become one in terms of our unity. And Nabi Kareem S.A.W. said that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. All believers are brothers unto one another. You are like one. Be like one body. The example of the Muslim Ummah is like one body. إِذِ اشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. That if the eyes feel pain, it is not the only the eyes that feel pain. It is the entire body that feels the pain. If one ummati is in difficulty, the entire ummah is supposed to feel that particular type of pain. We are supposed to be, while we are different, while we are distinct, we are supposed to be like one single human body. Until the ummah does not reach that point of becoming as united like one single human body, it is a words and the sayings of great scholars that we will not be able to attract the mercy of Almighty Allah. Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the son of Maulana Ilyas, who was the founder of the Tablighi movement, or the one who revived the Tablighi movement, rather to say, he made mention in one of his talks, he said, until the Muslims are not like one, Allah's assistance will not come to them. And he gave this example, that in the time of Medina, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, if there were 10,000 people, each and every one had the support of 9,999 people. No one wished him ill. He said, until you don't reach that situation, Allah's assistance and help will not come upon you. There can be no two opinions with regard to the importance of unity in Islam. Nabi Karim S.A.W. had said, Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Allah's hand of assistance is upon the united lot. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. And I'm not just quoting Arabic statements. These are sayings of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's blessing is with a united lot. And until we don't get to that situation, we will be deprived of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, help and mercy. And just as Allah has emphasized unity, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us with regard to disunity within the ummah. And because of disunity, weakness is created in the ummah. In the verse which I recited in the khutbah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't dispute with one another. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. You will become weak. Your courage will be taken away from you. You will not be courageous, you will become weak. And of course, one of the situations in the world today, one of the reasons why we are weak is because of our disunity. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in the 10 juz of the Holy Quran, do not dispute, Allah will take away your strength will become dissipated. You will not be able to achieve much if you are disunited. Shaitan becomes happy when we are disunited. Says Allah in the 15th surah of the Holy Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, inna shaitana yanzaghu bainahum. Shaitan creates disunity amongst people. Shaitan creates fights amongst people. Shaitan creates disputes amongst people. Allah does not like disputes. In fact, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu said, Ala ukhbirukum, should I not show you? Bi afzali darajata qa'im al-layli aw sa'im an-nahar aw kama qal. Something that is even more beneficial, more rewarding than you reading nafil salat, nafil roza, nafil fast. Bala ya Rasulullah, tell us ya Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu said, bring people together, reconcile people. Because disputes, hi al-haliqah. Because dispute shaves off. And because shaving is attached to the hair, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu said, I don't say it shaves off your hair, it shaves off your deen. Disunity, disputes and arguments shaves off your deen. Good deeds are not accepted by Allah and forgiveness is withheld when we are disunited. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said in a hadith, every Monday and Thursday, the deeds of human beings and the deeds of the believers are presented before Allah. And Allah forgives them. By and large, Allah forgives the believers. Except, كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَةً. Except the person who is at dispute with his Muslim brother. Allah Ta'ala tells the angels, leave that person aside, I will not forgive him till he reconcile with his brother. These are a hadith which I make mention with regard to it, my dear respect. Unfortunately, despite the importance of unity, the harms of disunity, we present such a sorrow state in our ummah today with regard to disunity. And without it, we will not be able to achieve much. And I just did a talk recently about 2-3 weeks on Salahuddin Ayyubi, because I was in UK and I went to go and, you know, 25 years of the Friends of Al-Aqsa who are doing tremendous work to highlight the sacredness of Masjid Al-Aqsa and the dispossession and the oppression on the Palestinian people. So when I came back, I spoke about Salahuddin Ayyubi, how he brought back Jerusalem and Masjid Al-Aqsa in the folds and in the realm of the Muslims. The first thing Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi did, for 10 years before he fought the Crusaders, he brought the Ummah together. He made effort to bring the Ummah together. He first brought the four major cities of the Muslim world at that time, Aleppo, Damascus, Cairo, and Mosul in Iraq. He brought the rulers of those four cities together. When he achieved unity, that's the time he attacked the Crusaders. Allah Ta'ala granted him victory after that. Now, obviously, I must tell you that today to achieve unity is not easy today. Because, you know, you have to deal with egos, you have to deal with challenges, you have to deal with different situations. And in this particular regard, I'm just reminded with regard to the statement of a great Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And this will be good for us in our individual family situations and even in our ummah situations. When he said the difficulty and the harm that will come upon you because of disunity, that harm is less than the difficulty that you get in achieving unity. So to achieve unity, there's a lot of difficulty. You have to, you know, sometimes, you know, sacrifice your ego. You have to make sabr. That harm is less than the harm that will come upon you as a family, as a community because of disunity. And it is made mention with regard to it that our ulama have made mention, Imam Awza'i, one of our great scholars, that said, when Allah intends evil for a nation, he engages them in fighting and prevents them from amal, prevents them from practice. And it is ma'ruf, Karkhi rahmatullah alayhi, said, when Allah Ta'ala intends evil for a people, he closes the door of action and he opens up the door of argumentation. If we are spending more time on social media with regard to the arguments that are taking place in our community and making our voices heard in that, instead of using that time to come closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign that Allah Ta'ala is intending evil for us. This is something. Now, of course, one of the aspects that we need to address is there are barriers with regard to achieving, you know, unity. Let me address some of those particular aspects. One of it is we have difference of opinion. Now, many a times people say there's a difference of opinion. Difference of opinion is not necessarily a barrier against unity. It's not a barrier. Allah has ordained differences between humans in terms of their languages and colors. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Among the signs of Allah Ta'ala is the creations of the heavens and earth and differences in your languages and colors. So Allah Ta'ala, you know, human beings having different colors, we make it a point and sometimes a means of looking down upon people as a means of racism. Allah Ta'ala says it's a sign of minds that I created you in different races, different colors, and I've created you with different languages. Don't look down upon languages. It is a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. So just as Allah ta'ala has created people in different languages, with different languages, different colors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given people different minds. Different mental capacities are also signs of Allah ta'ala's creative power. And in the intellectual world becomes more stimulating by different thoughts, different ideas, different views, different opinions that are coming forward. When there is a situation, then people come forward with different views. That particular different views, when it is brought forward in a community, in a family, in a society, it is not disunity. We need to be able to challenge that in such a way that we take advantage of that. So this different view has come. Why this different view has come? This person has brought it from this angle. He has brought it from this angle. It is not a means of disunity. We must look upon it as a rahmat, as a mercy. But however, in the dini capacity, in the dini situation, we must be very aware that there is no difference of opinion with regard to fundamentals. You can't have a difference of opinion with regard to whether homosexuality is permissible in Islam or not. Or you can't have a difference of opinion with regard to the situation is there a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala after our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali is quoted to have said, if someone tells you, I'm a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aliyadu billah, and you ask him for evidence, the mere fact that you ask him for evidence for such a fundamental thing of deen can lead you out of the fold of Islam, never mind him. How dare you ask someone for evidence for something that is so clear cut in our Sharia? So in our Sharia, in our deen, we believe in one thing, there is no compulsion. You are not forced to accept Islam. Right? So a person from the outset is not forced. La ikraha fid deen. But once you are in Islam, you are obliged to follow Islam. You are obliged to follow Islam. You don't have the option to say, I don't agree whether this is part of Islam or not. No, you have to agree that it is part of Islam. لا تقولوا لما تصف ألسنتكم الكذب هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب. You can't go and say this is halal and this is haram, falsely attributing it to Allah. I got a view and I say this is Islam. That is your view, but your view, if you are Muslim, you have to bring your view in line with what Allah Ta'ala has revealed. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواء تبعا لما جئت به. You are not a believer until you subject your thoughts, your desires, your amal according to the deen that Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought. You see, we sometimes say we want freedom of thought, freedom of action. I want to do whatever I want. I want to think whatever I want. I want to say whatever I want. Well, if you want that freedom, then take that freedom. But then you cannot be a Muslim who submits to Allah. Submission and freedom are two poles apart. Submission means I will try my utmost to bring my thoughts, my ideas. In fact, my thoughts and ideas, I have to bring it in according to Allah Ta'ala. I don't have an option. My deeds, I will do my utmost. And if there is a diversion from that, that diversion will not be because of rebelliousness. That diversion will be because of weakness. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said there is hope for a person who commits sin and he goes against the command of Allah because of weakness. There is no hope for a person who goes against the command of Allah Ta'ala because of rebelliousness. I will not read namaz because I don't think it's compulsory. I don't think it's important. You have no right to make that decision. Once you are Muslim, you have to submit to what Allah Ta'ala tells you. If you want a freedom, then you no more Muslim. But you have to submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, there is going to be, so I'm talking about, there is no difference of opinions in fundamentals. You don't have the right to have a thought and opinion against Islam. But within Islam, there are certain subdivisional issues. In those particular issues, there are going to be difference of opinion. There have been differences of opinion. That is not a barrier with regard to unity. Right? In fact, ulama have written the only time when there is complete consensus is when people are dumb, people are foolish, or people are dishonest. Wherever there are people of honesty, people of intelligence, we have the capacity to formulate thoughts, ideas, they're going to have difference of opinion. Or where they are honest enough to say to someone, you have got this particular view, I don't agree with you on that view. When there are people of intellect and where there are people of integrity, there's going to be difference of opinion. And where there are people who don't have, you know, intellect, so they don't have the capacity to formulate thoughts and opinions, they everyone will follow. They will be like sheep. Or there are people who, for example, who are dishonest. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you on something, but you are dishonest with regard to, despite feeling strongly on an issue, you remain inactive or silent for fear of other people, for fear of statements, for fear of posters, for fear of pamphlets. Then you are dishonest. That's disingenuous. When you feel strongly on an issue and you keep silent or become inactive, then that is disingenuous and is dishonesty. But where there are people of intellect and there are people of honesty, there will be difference of opinion. There will be difference of opinion at the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with it. Bani Qurayza, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba after the battle of the trench that this angel came, Ya Rasulullah, you have taken out your armor, but the tyranny and the double standards and the betrayal of Bani Qurayza has not been dealt with. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go immediately and read your Asr namaz in Bani Qurayza. On the way, Sahaba felt that we are going to miss Asr Salat, is going to become Maghrib. So one group of Sahaba said, we are going to follow Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings literally. He told us to read Asr in Bani Qurayza, even if it becomes the time of Maghrib, we're going to read Asr namaz in Bani Qurayza. The other group said, no, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that go quickly there. He didn't say go and read Asr there even if it is Maghrib time. So they read Asr on the road and they went a little bit later. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know about the two views adopted by the Sahaba. He didn't complain to anyone because they were trying to achieve what Allah Ta'ala's Rasul wanted from them. But they chose two different options. So there is going to be, and of course throughout history there has been this. The people, someone saw Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi one day in perspiration. What happened? I was sitting and discussing matters with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. I started off Isha time, I finished Fajr time. Despite the fact that they had difference with regard to their fiqh and their jurisprudence issue, they still were able to sit and discuss matters. Do we have that particular capacity in today's time? Where have we gone wrong? And sometimes difference of opinion can be because of different reasons. Sometimes it can be because of temperament. So if we have a difference of temperament, doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, and I made mention with regard to it earlier, by different opinions coming, different solutions come to the fore. So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a situation with regard to the prisoners of war, what do we deal with them? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, show compassion to them. They are our people. One day maybe they will accept Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, it's the first time that there was a battle between truth and falsehood. We need to set the standard. We need to get them killed. And we need to execute them. And the person who is closest to them in family, he must be the one to execute them to show that there is a distinction between truth and falsehood. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the view of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And you know what he said? He said, oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Ibrahim alayhi salam. And your example is like Isa alayhi salam. And what do they say? What do they make? In tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, if you punish my followers, they are your bondsmen, they are your servants. You can punish them if you want. Well, in taghfir lahum, but if you forgive them, you also have the capacity to forgive them. So, oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Ibrahim. And if Ibrahim, inna Ibrahim ala halimun awwahum munib. Ibrahim is kind. He's turning towards Almighty Allah. Ibrahim, normally, all Ibrahims are kind and compassionate. Some people find it objectionable. I don't know why. But Allah Ta'ala said it is like that. Huh? And oh Umar, your example is like Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and like Musa alayhi salam. What did Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said? Rabbi la tadar ala al-ardi min al-kafirin diyara. Oh Allah, don't leave one single disbeliever alive in this world. So one was compassionate, one was a little bit. So sometimes in this difference of opinion, this matters come to the fore, and maybe perhaps, the balance is strike. So one of the barriers with regard to unity is, how do we deal with difference of opinion? One of the greatest statements in this regard I read was from a very great scholar, the one who has compiled the Fazail-e Amal, which is perhaps one of the most widely read books in the Islamic world, Shaykhul Hadith Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he said, whenever there is difference of opinion and it is handled correctly, there will never ever be disunity and fitna. Let me repeat that again. Wherever there is difference of opinion and it is handled correctly, there will never be disagreements and there will never be fitna and there will never be hatred. The second thing, my dear respected brothers, the barrier with regard to, you know, unity is the concept of hatred, which has become such an ugly part of our community. And for today, it seems almost like it's a norm. It's a norm for people to hate one another. Now, one thing that we have to keep in Islam, Islam has teaches us to be, stay away from hatred, malice, and intention to harm others. These are spiritual diseases of the heart, which consequences are destructive to a person individually, to the community and the society. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for you to hate another person is enough evil for you to be destroyed. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one occasion said, whenever you hear a person saying, and this is becoming so common, whenever you hear a person saying, the community is finished, the community is destroyed, don't you look at what they are doing, he's the first of the person to be destroyed. Sahih Muslim hadith. Whenever you hear a person, the community is gone to the dogs, he's the first person to be destroyed. Rabbi Ibn Khaythum, Rahmatullah Ali, I hope I'm getting the name right, made mention of a very amazing thing. He said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ خَافُوا فِي ذُنُوبِ الْإِبَادِ وَلَمْ يَخَافُوا فِي ذُنُوبِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Today, people fear Allah with regard to the sins of others. They don't fear Allah with regard to their own sins. They fear Allah with regard. Don't you see what's happening? This one did this, this one did that. What you did, you're not worried about. People fear Allah with regard to the sins of others. They don't fear Allah with regard to their own sins. Our ulama have taught us with regard to this matter, hate the sin, not the sinner. The person who's done wrong, that sin is wrong. That person who has done wrong, you're making dua for him, Allah, bring him upon the right path. In the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a person who had taken alcohol. Sometimes you think, the most Mubarak time in our history, and there were people who had weaknesses. And he had this one weakness, and he was being, because Islam doesn't look upon the taking of alcohol as an individual act, which is left to the discretion of an individual. It has consequences upon humanity. Look at the type of accident race that happened during the time of Christmas, mainly because of alcohol. So Islam has said that there is a punishment for a person who takes alcohol. And today it's become a norm. And we have to keep this in mind, how Islam looks upon alcohol. So they were punishing him, and one person said, may Allah disgrace you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked him and said, don't let shaitan get the upper hand over him. How can you say, may Allah disgrace him? I know he loves Allah and his Rasul, despite the fact that he made this weakness. So we hate the sin, we don't hate the sinner. Another aspect with regard to, I think, and I will just make mention of two more points, my dear respected brothers, with regard to the harms of disunity and the barriers with regard to creating unity, is we don't become solution-orientated. And this creates, you know, barriers, it creates disunity. There are certain times of things that we have to be practical, we have to be solution-orientated according to our circumstances. Someone says South Africa has a very high murder rate and a very great crime rate. The Quran tells you, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ, that in the law of retaliation, there is safety of life. Next time someone commits a murder, I'm going to take it upon myself to go and kill him in retaliation. Can you do that? You cannot do it because you don't have the authority to do so. Allah Ta'ala says, when a thief, وَسَارِقُ وَسَارِقَةُ فَقْتَوْا أَيْدِيَهُمَا, these are Quranic verses, I can't deny it, you can't deny it. The person who commits theft, go and cut his hand. Can you go and commit, cut his hand? You can't do it because you don't have the authority. You're not in power. So when we become and we speak, we need to talk about solutions. Solutions that are practical. We make mention with regard to things today. We talk about, secular education. And then we talk about it and we don't have solutions. Sometimes you go to one extreme and say it is completely haram. Then where do you get the accountants to come from? Where do you get the doctors if you get sick? Where do you go to when you have a situation of going to the courts? We had the situation of, you know, the lawyers who were widely praised, and correctly so, for being able to bring about the situation with regard to the Ispingo beach situation about Azan. Now if we say that no, we're not supposed to learn this type of knowledge, then why are we praising the people who have been in the bottom of it, who have been the reason with regard to achieving apparent means of achieving that victory or achieving that particular court victory? So when we talk about things, we have to become solution orientated, not just talk about things without a solution. And lastly, let me say, my dear respected brothers, disunity, it prevents us from facing the challenges that are there. We get so caught up in things, and I'm not saying it's trivial, but comparatively there are more difficult and more pressing challenges that we have to face. But because of our disunity, because of sniping, because of at one another's throat, we don't have the opportunity to be able to deal with these challenges. The immorality that is out there today, the atheism that is becoming rife within our, I won't say rife, maybe it's the wrong word, but the atheism that is coming in the minds of our youngsters. I did a program during the course of the week on the problems of LGBTQ in one of the communities in Johannesburg. And one of the alims has done extensive research in there. And he's become a source of reference. And I will just make mention of this and conclude to say that when we are disunited, we won't be able to deal with these challenges. He said a 12-year-old Muslim girl one day told me, she said, "Maulana, I'm a girl, but I think Allah made a mistake by making me a girl. I'm a girl in a boy's or in a man's body." He said, one person told him, and he said, I'm dealing with a person. He said, I think that in this particular regard, aliyadu billah, nakle kufar, kufar nabashat. He said that, I don't agree with this whole particular aspect of this particular form of immorality and homosexuality being haram. It's a time for us to relook at the Holy Quran. Now, when we have these type of challenges, and are we going to be, can we afford to be disunited? Can we afford to be able to play around and have ego wars and personality clashes? Absolutely. So, my dear respected brothers, all I'm saying in conclusion is, let us be able to understand the importance of unity, the importance of the barriers with regard to the unity. I just made mention of one or two hatred, how do we deal with difference of opinion, but at least one thing that we each and everyone must be very aware of, and I think that one each and everyone must take this commitment: I will not become the means of further disunity. If you see a post that is negative, do you have to forward it? Or is you seem to like it, therefore you are forwarding it. So it creates a certain degree of happiness in you. Why should you be able to do that? Let us make a commitment. I won't become the means. Sometimes things happen in the community. I don't have the capacity to deal with it. I can't stop it, but I can stop my own actions. I can bring about an introspection about my own actions. See to it that we are not the cause of further disunity and further hatred. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of bringing unity and love and muhabbat amongst us, as was the way of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the teachings of our deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We have a very important guest, Maulana Khalilur Rahman Sajjad Nomani. He is the son of a very great scholar who visited our shores way back in 1968. Maulana Manzoor Nomani, inshallah his program will be made mention of, and inshallah we will be putting out the posters. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala make his coming a success. Jazakumullah.